Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to The Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us in just a few moments from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Already an interesting day in sports. First, he was interested, then he wasn't. Now, he's the Eagles head coach. Chip Kelly moving away from the college ranks in Oregon, and as of today, will be the head coach of the Eagles, the 21st head coach in Eagles history, as a matter of fact. We'll talk more about that here on the program today. I wonder if money had anything to do with it. Just a guess. There's some rumors going around on just what the Eagles had been offering. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments here on the Steve Jones Show. Also coming up today, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll have Kayla Klein of Mifflinburg. She's the punt, pass, and kick competition winner from over the weekend. Also a basketball player for the Lady Wildcats. We'll have her on the program later on today. Coquise Washington of the Penn State Lady Lions basketball team will join us as well. And then coming up tomorrow, Tim Saunders of the Philadelphia Flyers radio network. He's the play-by-play voice of the Flyers on the radio. As they get ready to start the season, we'll check in with him at about 4:35 tomorrow. Yaakov Yisrael is the new head coach of the Shamokin Indians, former Penn State Nittany Lion. We'll reunite him and Steve coming up tomorrow as well at about 3:35. So that's just what's coming up in the next, 24 to 48 hours. And then a little bit later on in the month, we'll have Patrick McEnroe, Jack Arute talking IndyCar and college football as well, and getting ready for the draft in the NFL. So a lot of stuff going on here on the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones from the Sunbury Motors Studio coming up next. But first, it's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off, plus 0% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at sunburymotors.com, or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence of WKOK's On the Mark program. I return from some undeserved days off, and I will be hosting On the Mark tomorrow. Our guest, history professor David Imhoff. It's tomorrow, OTM, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve hanging out in the Sunbury Motors studio today. He'll be with us shortly. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf with the Kia dealership. We have the Hilscher's General Store hotline already blinking and ready to roll at 1-800-795-9565. We're going to have a lot of people on the hotline today. Coquise Washington coming up here shortly. But right now, we're joined by Kayla Klein from Mifflinburg. I understand not only a football player, but a basketball player too, Kayla. Is that right?
Yep.
And who do you have later on tonight? You have a basketball game tonight, right?
Yep, home against Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore coming to town tonight. So we're kind of catchy in between, but I have to ask, what made you – you're obviously the winner of the punt, pass, and kick competition in the NFL over the weekend. Tell me what it feels like to be in an NFL stadium ready to compete, with all those people watching you.
You're a little nervous. But you get over it, and you just try to do your best, And when you're in that stadium, it's really loud.
Now, you were wearing an Eagles jersey. Did you get any grief from any of the fans?
Not really.
That's great. Tell me how you got interested in the punt, pass, and kick competition and how it developed for you.
Well, my dad got me started when I was, like, younger in, like, the 8- and 9-year-old age group, and I just kept going on since.
What made you look into football? I mean, what was it to get the punt, pass, and kick competition? You said your dad got you into it, but what made you think it was kind of a cool thing to do?
Well, I played, like, a lot of other sports, and I played soccer, so, like, the kicking part wasn't a problem, and I also played softball, so the passing part wasn't a problem either.
So now, what's the transition between soccer and football as far as how you have to kick the ball? Is there any differences there? Is there any little tips you might want to pass along to anybody?
I usually don't kick it as like a soccer-style kick. I'm more of like toe kick it straight on. And when you're toe kicking it, you just don't want to hit too much of the top of the ball. You just want to kind of get the bottom more off the tee.
Now, has there been anybody that has tried to talk you into being a field goal kicker for football season?
Not really. They kind of joke around about it.
Has it been anything you've thought about doing?
I think about it, but I also have field hockey that I play during that season, so I didn't know how much I would be able to kick for them.
So it's basketball, soccer, field hockey as well, punt, pass, and kick competitions. If you had to pick your sports, what's your favorite one right now?
Basketball.
Why is it basketball? Tell me that.
I don't know. It's just kind of my favorite.
Well, that's a fair answer. I appreciate that answer. That's a fair way to put it. Now, I have to ask you, though, with your punt, pass, and kick competition, give us the timeline of how many times you had to compete. And how did you get to that level? What did you have to go through to get to Atlanta?
First was the local competition. And then there was a sectional, and then the team championship competition, which was at the Eagles for me, and then the national competition in Atlanta.
So you had to go through several. I mean, how many people? Do you have any idea how many other youth were involved in this that you had to get by?
There's 100,000 in the country that participate in this event.
Wow. So it was a long, drawn-out process, no question.
Yeah.
That's great. Steve Jones joining us mobily today. Steve?
Yes. Hey, hello, Kayla. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So of the pursuits that are involved in this, which one was the toughest one for you to master where you had to work a little bit harder than the other ones to be really proficient at?
I definitely think it's the nationals because there were other girls in that age group who also have won nationals before. So I knew it was going to be, like, a tough division for me.
And of the things, they say punt, pass, and kick. So which one's the toughest one for you?
I'd probably say the kick because it can go the wrong direction anytime if you don't kick it right on.
Yeah. Now, which one's the easiest, where you just you walked out there, you just knew that you were pretty good at it?
Usually the punt. The punt has been good for me. Lately, I've been, like, drilling them nice and straight on the line.
That's terrific. How did you like Atlanta?
It was awesome. It's really big, and in the stadium, it was really loud. People going crazy.
Yeah, the Georgia Dome?
Yeah.
Well, I did an NCAA Sweet 16 game in the Georgia Dome. There were 26,000 people. You had 50,000 more. Did you feel the crowd when you were out there, or could you block it out?
The competition wasn't actually, like, on the day of the game, but it was still, when you're on the field getting recognized, you can still hear all those fans. But I kind of just block them out.
You just block them out, huh? What about, did you make friends with other competitors along?
Yeah. Like, a bunch of the girls in my age group, we were all hanging out, and we actually became good friends.
What was it like meeting people from other parts of the country?
Well, we talked a lot about, like, it's cold in my area in Pennsylvania, and there was a girl from Hawaii. There was a girl from Hawaii who said, like, the lowest it gets there is like 70. So I was a little bit jealous of them because they have nice warm weather when we're in the snow.
That just means you're tougher, Kayla. she's leading a soft life out there in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Did you exchange cell phones, email addresses, things like that?
A couple with some of the girls.
That's good. What drew you into doing this? What was it about this competition that you said, you know what, I'd like to try it, and I think I could be pretty good at it? When did that start?
Well, my dad got me into it when I was around 8, and I played a lot of other sports, and a lot of other sports are kind of like this, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
You gave it a shot, all right. When did you start to sense that, and your family start to sense that you were pretty good at it?
Well, I've made it, like, to the Eagles competition a bunch of times, and I've won, like, the Eagles competition every time I've got there. So I'm pretty sure it was after I've won that so many times and got to Nationals when I was 9 the first time.
Well, that's incredible. What you've done is absolutely incredible. Kevin, if you have any other questions, I'm going to say, Kayla, thank you on my part. I'm going to go get Patrick Chambers for our pregame show. I'll let Kevin finish with you, and then we'll have Coquise Washington coming up in the next half hour. Kev?
Thank you very much, Steve. He'll rejoin us from the Mobile Sunbury Motors studio shortly. Kayla, I didn't have an opportunity to say congratulations. That's an outstanding achievement. And like you said, how many people, or how many other youth that were involved in this and have gone through it that you had to get past to get to this level? That's just fantastic. And it's even better the fact that you've done it multiple times. Has it gotten easier the more times you make it a little further?
I think it is because you get used to, like, the nervousness that you get, and you just do better when you're not nervous, so you do much better as you get older.
Well, you are very busy. I don't have any idea, with all the sports you play, how you find time to practice any of this, but do you find time to practice any of it?
When it's not cold out, I try to go out every couple weekends. I get a couple weekends in there to practice, but not much.
I'll tell you what, I will be surprised if you don't get a call from the head coach there at Mifflinburg going, hey, wanted to see if you wanted to try out once or twice. We'll work around your schedule. I understand you can kick pretty well. So I will be surprised if you don't end up with that kind of a call somewhere along the line, Kayla. Thank you so much for joining us to take a time out. Good luck tonight in the game. What position do you play in basketball as well?
Usually point guard or shooting guard.
Oh, so you're putting some points on. What's your game average? Do you know yet?
It's like 14 points.
That's not too shabby either. So multiple sport athlete, very successful doing it, and good luck tonight against Jersey Shore. Maybe you can add to that 14-point-a-game total, Kayla.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kayla Klein from Mifflinburg, joining us here on the Steve Jones Show as we chat a little bit about her win in the punt, pass, and kick competition. And had heard rumors that there was people trying to talk her into playing football, but obviously has not done it yet because she's involved in quite a few different sports, including field hockey. So that's a young lady who's very active and finds some time as well to be very successful in a national competition like punt, pass, and kick. And as she said, have been very successful, you know, especially regionally over the last several years, and now at the national level going to Atlanta over the weekend and winning the punt, pass, and kick competition, and then, as she said, being honored in a very loud Georgia Dome. Well, Steve Jones is at the Sunbury Motor Studio mobile site today. That is at the Bryce Jordan Center. Penn State playing basketball tonight with a 6:30 airtime here on WKOK and at WKOK.com. And we also want to remind you that we're going to be talking a little bit of women's basketball coming up. Coquise Washington is headed your way on the Hilshire's General Store Hotline. Give us a call a little later on at 800-795-9565. Talk a little bit about Chip Kelly, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK News, as Steve says, is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio mobile today. He's at the Bryce George Center getting ready for Penn State basketball coming up this evening at 6:30. We'll get back with Steve Jones in the mobile Sunbury Motor Studio here shortly. Lots of stuff happening today. Just had Kayla Klein on the program, the Mifflinburg punt pass kick winner in the NFL competition held over the weekend in Atlanta. Chatted with her a little bit and found out that, it's not really a football thing for her. She just enjoys doing it. I thought that was rather interesting. You know, most of the people involved in those punt, pass, and kick competitions are all about football, but not her. She's about basketball and field hockey and soccer. And I'll tell you what, though, she's been very successful in that competition. And if you're a youngster looking for some tips, you might want to give her a call. She'll be at the Mifflinburg Jersey Shore basketball game, the point guard for the Mifflinburg Wildcats tonight, that game at Mifflinburg. And if you missed that, don't forget to head to stevejonesshow.com. You'll be able to click on the first hour archives and hear that interview. You'll also be able to hear any of the interviews we have and any of the discussions we have here on the Steve Jones Show. We'll open up the Hilshire's General Store hotline one more time, Steve. I think it's time to talk to Coquise Washington. I think she's on the line here.
And I believe we have Coquise with us on the line. Coquise, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, we transitioned from Tim Brando to you, so we've done well. Okay. The Nebraska game on Sunday. Certain things come together at certain moments. What came together for your basketball team on Sunday?
You know, I believe it was our pressure defense. You know, they're a very good offensive team. They have three players who are capable of going off and getting big numbers. But I think our pressure defense did a good job of limiting the good, open, easy looks for their star players. And it started for us with our transition defense, and we got after it. Our defense, which led to our transition offense. We got after it on the defensive end, and then we're able to get going in transition.
There's a point where you go through and the Lady Lions on the rise, building, and you are, quote, the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the ability as to how to handle that when you're perceived to be near the top of the mountain where you are, quote, the hunted. And it takes a different mentality. I know that this is something you and I talked about last May about how they would handle that part. You've now watched where you go into every game and you are the big time opponent. How have they mentally handled that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's something we've talked about. And we talked about before, we gave them the analogy. You know, we said, remember how we felt going into the game when we would play Ohio State when they had Jantel Lavender and Sammy Prahalis and they were, you know, the ranked opponent, and the kids kind of looked and they shook their heads. Yeah, I said, well, that's how people feel playing against Penn State. You know, they feel like they've got to give a great effort. They've got to, you know, they've got to have all their ducks in a row. They've got to have, you know, the incredible focus. And we know that we're going to get team's best effort. It doesn't matter where they're ranked. It doesn't matter, you know, how they played coming into the game. When they're suiting up against Penn State, we're going to get their best effort. And you have to exceed that effort, and you have to go back. And this is something we also talk about all the time. So it's not about who we're playing against. It's about playing to our level of expectation. So if we're able to execute and play the way we're capable of playing, we can withstand anything that anybody brings to us.
The rebounding part, you're about a plus five right now. Early on in your career, that number was a reversal. What are some of the elements that have gone in to make you a better rebounding team?
Well, we certainly focus on it and talk about it a lot. And quite honestly, we haven't been happy with how we've rebounded in conference play. And so we know we've got to get better at it. But I think one of the things that's helped us be a better rebounding team is overall we're a better defensive team. So we're making teams take tougher shots. We're maybe making teams take shots that they don't want to take. So oftentimes, the offense, our opponents aren't in a position to get the offensive rebounds because we're making them take shots that they're not prepared to take those shots, and it gives us a better chance to defend and to rebound. So I think a lot of it comes from our effort defensively overall.
Let's stay on the defensive end of this, because over the last 15, 20 years, the game has really changed. The more three-point shooters you can get out there, the better it is, because it opens up mm-hmm. the entire floor. You are giving up just 28% in threes. Give me an idea what it takes to play good perimeter defense and why your players do play good perimeter defense.
Well, I tell you, number one, it starts with we've got a lot of speed and quickness on our team. And while I think everybody talks about our speed and quickness on offense, it helps us on the defensive end too, because to play good team defense, you've got to be able to help and rotate and react. And that team speed that we have that helps us so much on offense also helps us on the defensive end. So we're able to recover. You know, we're able to help and rotate and get back out to shooters and contest some of those shots. So we don't give up as many wide open threes because those are shots that Division I players can make. They can make open shots. So you have to have a concerted effort to try to contest shots and react and rotate. And, you know, I think our team speed allows us to do that.
What has Dara Taylor meant in terms of getting her into the mix and into, you know, and what it means to your chemistry?
Man, I love Dara Taylor. So thrilled that she, decided to become a Lady Lion. And, you know, when I was talking earlier about that team speed, that team defense, in some ways it starts with Dara Taylor because she gets after it on the defensive end. Especially when she's guarding on the ball. And she's able to get after people and make guards play a little faster than they want to play. And that helps everything. So, and then her speed on the offensive end in transition, her speed getting to the basket, she's been able to make some plays out there where she takes one or two dribbles and gets to the basket before, you know, the defense has a chance to blink their eyes. You know, she's just that quick. And, you know, that speed and quickness is just, man, it's really dangerous.
Floor balance changes when you get a third scorer on the floor. Who consistently is filling that role for you now?
Well, I think we're getting two people that are filling that role. Well, actually, probably four people. You know, we're getting consistent contributions from Ariel, Dara Taylor, Mia Nixon, and Nikki Green. I think all four of those players, you know, we can count on them to get somewhere between, 8 and 15 points on any given night. And depending on the night and depending on how the team is playing, defending, one of those three steps up and, gets 14 or 15 points. So, in a sense, we don't have one person, but we have four people who are capable of doing it on any given night, and who it's going to be just depends on how the other team plays us.
Looking for your eighth consecutive win, Wisconsin's the next opponent. What's the initial read on them?
Well, they're a team that plays together as a team. And by that I mean their offense is predicated on movement, passing, and getting open looks because of that movement. So they're not a one-on-one team. They don't necessarily kill you with one-on-one or individual players, but they kill you with just being a good, efficient team. And outside of their first conference game this year, the rest of their games have been pretty competitive. They played Iowa tough. They've played some tough games and been in the thick of things. So, and they get after it defensively. You know, they rotate, they double team, they mix up their defenses, they play man, they play zone, which is something that we haven't quite seen this year, a team that's going to play a multitude of defenses to try to keep us off balance.
Well, we know there's a certain point that we can keep you to. We're pretty close to that point right now, and I thank you for calling in and being a part of this. It meant a lot to the audience to hear you talk about your team today.
My pleasure. We hope to see everybody out in the gym on Thursday night because, you know, we want to keep that undefeated streak going and conference play in, and we need a loud gym to do that. So hopefully we'll see a lot of people out.
7 o'clock on Thursday night. By the way, good luck.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Coquise Washington with us as we continue with more from the Jordan Center here on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Here at the Bryce Jordan Center, where tonight 18th-ranked Michigan State will take on Penn State tonight. Two Michigan State basketball players got into a fight today at the Nittany Lion Inn. They have not revealed which two, but my sources tell me there are two guys that play. Whether they're disciplined or not for tonight's game remains to be seen. So, surprise. What do you think? You think we come over here? We're not working? Oh, mercy. Come on, Kev.
No, I'm not going to get into the TMZ side of it this time. You've got that one covered from your base right there.
Bounce back.
Come you've on, got man. You've got it covered from your TMZ base right there. You've got it. I've taught you well.
We're right here. It's getting it done. You know? So that's what you need. You know. But that's what I understood. Two of them got, in fact, the police had to come over. It wasn't a big-time altercation, but they did. I know which two they happen to be. They do play. They do play. They are in Tommy's top eight rotation. But, no, whether anything comes of it, we'll see. I mean, they both may play and so forth tonight, so.
Well, I thought one report referred to them both as victims.
Victims?
Well, maybe. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I'm getting that wrong.
My understanding is they fought each other.
Well, that's what I thought too. By some of the stories that were coming out, but you know how stories get changed around seven or eight times by the time they get passed along.
Well, we'll have to find out. I don't know. If they're victims, I mean, that means they were attacked.
Well, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry. I mean, attacks don't happen at the Nittany Lion Inn, okay? Especially on a Wednesday. Okay? They're at the Nittany Lion Inn. Look at the size of them. The size of these guys. I know which two guys they're talking about. They are not small men. Maybe each claimed to be a victim.
Well, that could be. That could very well be. But again, it proves what you've said for a long time. Be careful what you read, and be careful where it came from.
Right. Yeah, you always have to be like that. You always have to be like that.
That's why I said I've heard reports. That's why I said that.
So that's what we understand. That's what we work with. I can tell you everybody for Penn State's ready except for Frazier. Just talked to Patrick a few moments ago. And set to go for this one tonight. Chip Kelly takes the Philadelphia Eagles job. It seemed as if he was all set to settle back in at Oregon. And in the end, no. He takes, and it's official, he has taken the Eagles job. How about that?
All about the paper.
Wow. Partially, you know, it's interesting. He takes over a team. You look at the teams that had head coaching vacancies. Which team has the most team speed offensively? Okay, which one does?
And that's
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was going to say of the new teams, I would say Philly.
Jackson. I mean, the ones that had openings.
Yeah, the new coaches, right.
Jackson, McCoy, okay. He's got speed there across the board with those three players. He wants to play fast. I heard a lot of people say Nick Foles won't fit what he does. Not necessarily. The key with what Chip Kelly wants to do is to play fast. play with lightning speed, get plays off in 15 to 20 seconds from the time the ball is placed. That's what he wants to do. You can do that with any quarterback if they're proficient. Okay? Now, I think a lot of people are looking at the running quarterbacks they've had. Now, if I'm Philadelphia, may I make a suggestion on signing a backup quarterback?
Quickly.
Dennis Dixon.
Former Pittsburgh Steeler, played Dennis well Dixon. Against the Ravens in his only start.
Yeah. Dennis Dixon can move. Oregon guy. Can make some things happen. He would be interesting in a Philadelphia uniform. Do you keep Michael Vick now?
Not with that kind of money being having to fork out for him, no.
I'm just saying, do you keep him? All right? Okay, do you keep him? He moves. Chip Kelly likes his quarterback to move. Also, Kelly went in when he interviewed with them. This was not an offense-only talk with them. He talked to them about nutrition, diet, weight training. He was very specific on several different areas, and that impressed the Eagles. Now, one of the key things he'll have to do, what's the biggest thing he has to do?
What, in Philadelphia, what's the biggest thing he has to do?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. What do you think the biggest thing? I mean, to me, it would be get some points on the board because the Eagles have not moved the ball, did not move the ball that well this year.
Biggest thing for him to do is hire a defensive coordinator and do it as soon as possible. Get that side of the ball taken care of because he, Chip Kelly, will take care of the other side of the ball. They have the speed. They'll draft. My confidence is they'll draft an offensive lineman.
Okay. What about a defensive back, though? Lineman.
Well, you have seven rounds.
Well, I'm thinking about the first round because, there's a young man from Alabama that might be available at that point that might be worth a look.
Might. Right? Matthew's going to be available from LSU, too. The Honey Badger.
Too much baggage
Honey Badger's
there.
Honey going to be available, huh? Well, it'll fit right in then.
But, you mentioned it, the hiring a defensive coordinator because, you know what, this is the sixth hire of the offseason. All have been offensive-minded.
Right. And that's what we talked about. That's why the Lovie Smith situation is interesting. Okay? I think Lovie Smith he's a defensive coach. And so far there are two openings up. One of them is Jacksonville. And Lovie Smith did interview in Jacksonville. He's a quality guy, but he's a defensive-minded coach. You'd have to hire a quality offensive coordinator. Also, we have not yet, there's two openings still remaining. We have still not seen the name Greg Roman surface, have we? He is the offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. Okay.
Well, is anybody going to say they're interested in him right now before they could really get a good chance to talk to him?
I don't know. But what I've found interesting is there's the Rooney Rule. How many minorities have we heard openly interviewed?
I don't know.
Everybody has to interview one.
I didn't really think about it.
Everyone has to interview a minimum of one. For example, I'll give you guys a great defensive mind that I think could be a very good head coach, Perry Fuel of the New York Giants. But we're in an offensive era, and I haven't heard Lovie Smith certainly has been interviewed, so, that counts. I just throw that out there just to make everybody understand that we know the rules. And then tomorrow's the big Lance Armstrong day. Your world has been destroyed. Mine, of course, just goes on.
It's still disappointing. I'm getting over it, but it's still disappointing.
Well... I understand. I do understand. You know, but you asked me a question yesterday.
Yes.
When we were off the air. Go ahead. You can ask the question.
What did
out
I
of
ask
the air
you
now.
Yesterday?
You asked me off the air.
I don't remember. That was 24 hours ago. What did I ask you?
Oh, no.
Oh, you mean when
you
did
wonder you... You wonder where your kid gets it from.
You mean when I... Let's see. The only one I could think of is when did you stop becoming a fan?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. I love sports. I do. Being a fan of sports, like really being into it as a fan, probably the last time I was like that was probably the 2004 World Series. How about that?
Well, I can understand that. But see, that's part of my problem, I think. I've become a fan of sports a little too much, and things like this bug me.
But that's, you know, you're talking 8.5 years ago where I was like a fan of a team. You know, I can tell you that, you know, my preference growing up, I was a New York Giants fan, Red Sox fan, Celtics fan, Bruins, then Whalers, because I grew up in Connecticut, so with the Whalers, you know. But the Giants lost, you know, I was like, oh, okay, they lost. The Red Sox lost, I was like, okay, they lost, you know. It's not like it used to be for me a long time ago. It was like, oh, I can't believe they lost that game. And throw my heart and soul into it. And I just love watching games for games. I watched Wisconsin-Indiana last night for the interest of seeing who won. I enjoy watching sports the way somebody enjoys watching a good movie. And I don't openly root anymore for individuals or teams. How about that?
So maybe as I grow more mature, maybe I'll be able to grow into that. Because right now, I'm still very upset the Steelers aren't in the playoffs.
Well, you know, part of it, too, is because I do so many games during the course of a year, Kevin. So many games. I miss because I'm concentrating on the game that's in front of me.